Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Straight and Level podcast, where we are dedicated to presenting you with the truth, the facts, and the opinions that matter to you the most as American Airlines pilot. No matter if you're junior, senior, or new hire, we thank you for tuning in today. The fight for truth is officially weighed off wheels, as is our car drive. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Straight and Level podcast. I'm joined today again with Jeff Kerr, the lead organizer of AA Pilots for ALPA, and we are going to be introducing the next series of podcasts. So Jeff, how's your week going?
Pretty well, Garrett. Just on the road again and enjoying a good layover in Columbia, South Carolina. It's been good.
Awesome. So the next series that we're going to be talking about is mainly around representation and what that would look like under ALPA. Kind of what is our plan and what would the future hold for us, correct? So my first question is, now that contract 2023 is behind us, a lot of the pilots are wondering what happens next, right? Contract enforcement is going to be important, but that being said, it doesn't seem like our union has a strategic vision moving forward. And we've seen this in many different facets. One example of this was I found in the Exploratory Committee's report, and on page 25 of it, 24 and 25, it talks about kind of the scope of the strategic plan and that it had not been updated since 2013. And what surprised me was it's only a two-page document. I guess my question is, with the car drive well underway, where do you think the pilots of American Airlines should be focused currently?
Yeah, Garrett, thanks for the question. So I would say, first and foremost, to your original point about just not necessarily having a obvious strategy or kind of strategic vision of what is next, a whole premise of the next kind of part of our campaign is just focusing on the future, focusing on contract 2027, and just the general thought that, listen, a failure to plan is just a plan for failure. And like you pointed out, the Merger Exploratory Committee found during the several months that it was looking into comparisons of both APA and ALPA, unfortunately, our union has not updated a strategic plan as of June 1st when the Merger Exploratory Committee gave their presentation. There was no strategic plan updated since 2013, and that strategic plan from 2013 was literally two pages. We'll have a whole episode dedicated to strategic planning and what ALPA brings to the table. And in the show notes, I'll even put a link to a website we put together that basically describes how Alaska's pilots went through their strategic plan during the last contract cycle. But there's a lot of value to having a plan. And AA Pilots for ALPA has had a strategic plan in place for several months now. And we had, at any time we're readdressing it, we do readdress it pretty regularly. We always are thinking about, hey, what's next? What are the potential avenues? What are the potential directions this thing could go? Based on how, you know, what pilots are saying out on the line, what our union is saying, what our representatives are telling us whenever we have conversation, the occasional reach out to them just to figure out where their heads were at the previous attempts to explore an APA ALPA merger.
Yeah. And that's one of the biggest reasons why I got involved in this movement, is simply because if I'm going to live out my career here at American Airlines, I want to make sure that our representation has the tools it needs to be most effective. And clearly, in many different facets, they currently do not have that. So that being said, I think most pilots would agree that the way contract 2023 was negotiated indicates that we need to start thinking about the next contract, right? It's only a four-year agreement. Sure, it most likely will stretch beyond that, but we need to start thinking about the contract 2027 now. As a new ALPA airline, what would the initial steps of getting ready for negotiations look like?
Yeah, specifically for our pilot group, right, is unity is key. And you always hear anybody that's elected to some kind of a union office preaching about unity. And I'm not here to preach to anybody. What we're providing is a plan. So the first step is transitioning over to ALPA. And the first step of that step is really just attaining that showing of interest with a strong majority of cards. And we're well on our way there now. Once we have a strong showing of interest, we'll conduct a national, we'll submit our cards to the National Mediation Board. They'll verify the signatures with company records, and then they'll conduct a NMB representation election, which basically takes all control of the process away from our current union and gives it to a third party that uses federal law to prosecute that election. We strongly believe, based on what we're hearing in the terminals, that the American pilots are ready for ALPA representation. So when the American pilots elect ALPA as their bargaining agent, there's going to be a transition period for initially onboarding a temporary MEC, our new MEC staff, and our MEC committees, so that we have a continuity of representation from one day being represented by our current union and the next day being represented by ALPA. After that, we're going to have to basically sign up every single American pilot that possible that's willing to be an ALPA member. It's going to involve a membership drive, which once again kind of goes back to the overall theme here, which is unity. And there's going to be a need for both resources at ALPA National and the leadership under a new ALPA MEC to go out and actually talk to pilots, figure out what they need and what they want, and get them signed up to be represented by ALPA. Finally, there will be elections placed where every pilot is going to be able to decide, hey, who do I want actually representing me as a local council representative? And then those local council representatives will then in turn elect officers, so that the membership is ultimately the ones that are deciding who their leaders are. And then those local representatives are electing the officers. So the membership is on the same page as our local reps, and our local reps are on the same page as our officers. So there's a lot less dysfunction between your reps and the officers that are trying to carry out some kind of a strategy to negotiate our contract moving forward. Go ahead, Garrett.
Well, and just real quick, that's one of the things that is most exciting about this, right? We've all talked about the dysfunction that we've seen play out, not only at the negotiating table, but in our union's past history. This essentially is going to wipe that clean, and we're going to get a chance to fix this and make it right.
Yeah, and to be clear, it's not so much fixing anything. It's more of just giving the pilots control, right? Giving our pilot group the ability to be represented.
And
listen, you got to ask yourself, like, is this fixable, or do we need to just go out and kind of start over? to your point, right? After talking in the terminals for several weeks now, I'm confident it's not a pilot group problem. It really is not. It's an institutional problem with our current union that is going to be years spent fixing, whereas we have kind of a ready-made solution available to us right now that we can vote on and decide if we'd rather just have a ready-made solution ready to go, so we can get back to the business of being represented and having the members' priorities be the priority of those who are representing us, rather than being told what our priorities are.
Getting the pilots back in control of where they want their representation to go is, I think, a huge breath of fresh air for anybody that is supporting this movement.
Right. And another way to think about this is like, hey, where should we be spending our energy, right? Like, if we have a solution available to us that quote unquote fixes a lot of the structural issues that are currently ailing us, so that we can focus our time on actually being prepared and having a plan for the issues that matter the most to the average line pilot out there, why don't we just take advantage of that? I don't understand why anybody would be afraid of at least having the ability to vote on that before we go down the road of months and months and months of just trying to quote unquote fix something that has shown a general aptitude of not wanting to be fixed over the past decades.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. So Jeff, you sent me over a infographic recently talking about contract 2023. You know, once we have the representation elections and we have all those facets in place, what does this look like moving forward?
Yeah, for sure. Listen, just getting to ALPA is a first step that helps give the membership control of our union again. Beyond that, we also have the benefit of joining a trade association, right? The world's largest pilot union, ALPA, and growing it to nearly 100,000 pilots, if not more, depending on how many other groups they've organized by that at that point. It'll be very important for us to immediately get involved both with our American MEC, but also in the national level, and start building relationships within that structure so that we know who to ask for help, right? So that we're not, the sooner we get there, the better, because we don't want to wait until the last possible moment to just join this organization and then start asking really basic questions like, hey, who do I go to about strategic planning, or who do I go to about negotiating? Ideally, you would have an MEC elected and put in place and have enough time for people to actually know, and for our MEC staff working with the ALPA national staff up in McLean, as well as our committee volunteers on the MEC level and the national level, and enough communication with each other to fully understand how the structure works and how to fully utilize the structure so we have the resources ready to go and in place when we're preparing to bargain for contract 2027.
So, as we prepare to bargain, what will the pilots notice that is different with American being an ALPA represented airline versus our current representation?
Great question. So first thing, just like we mentioned in the beginning, is the strategic planning resources. So my understanding, and if you will go back and listen to some of the Alaska Pilots podcasts, they're all kind of historically noted. I mean, the Alaska pilots basically had a strategic plan done a year out, and they were ready to go by the time they opened their contract with a plan, and had already built up membership unity and gathered resources enough so that they could fully take advantage of every opportunity that cropped up, both planned and unplanned, right? Because sometimes it's a matter of just building resources within the pilot group and executing on an idea, and then other times there's just, the company can sometimes provide opportunities to us to take advantage of during a negotiating cycle. But if you don't have a strategic plan in place, all that stuff is really, really hard to execute on. You may get lucky from time to time. And listen, there's no doubt that there are some things that our current union does very, very well tactically, right? The problem is there's no overarching strategy, and like our union's kind of a reflection to some extent of like what you'd see whenever you're dealing with some of the departments over with the company, which is like there's a little bit of silos. There's some silos that go on. There's a lack of communication. There's kind of competing interests between different fiefdoms inside the union. And it lends itself to a little bit more, I guess, infighting than you would see under ALPA's representation structure, because at the end of the day, ALPA's representation structure is built for the primary purpose of a pilot-driven and staff-supported union, period.
Yeah, and I think we're all getting tired of the echo chambers, and we've heard, we hear you, we hear you. And like I said before, it does not appear like they've heard us. And looking through some of the ALPA structures, yes, it is very pilot driven. And there's, maybe I wouldn't say no echo chamber, but there is a lot more room for the average line pilot to make their voice heard and really control where that representation is being put. And it keeps the issues at hand that are important to the average line pilot at the front end of the battle.
Yeah, and Garrett, I don't want to make it sound like what I don't want to characterize this as just saying like, hey, we're going to go to ALPA and ALPA Nationals is going to fix our problems. That's not what's going to happen. Like, you can probably pick out in recent events, current events, however you want to call it, name an ALPA carrier that, hey, they missed the mark on a contract ratification and the membership shot it down, right? That's not always just like the fault of the ALPA resources. It's not always just the fault of the representative. Sometimes it's the fault of like the members for not being engaged enough too, right? So like, it is a membership driven structure, but it does require engagement from the members. like I said, walking through the terminals over the past few weeks, I am very confident that we do have a pilot group that is ready to be engaged under leadership, under real leadership, right? But it still is incumbent on all of us as pilots, as professional pilots that are represented under a union, to at least be engaged enough to know what's going on with our careers and how you can impact it and how you can control it. I mean, I know most of us got involved in this job because we love the ability to set the parking brake and go home and kind of forget about work until you go back. And to a certain extent, you're always going to have times and periods in your career where you're always going to be able to do that, but we can't always be doing it, right? There's gotta be times where you have to kind of set up as good, like kind of, stewards of the profession and citizens of, you know, just kind of, folks that are carrying forward for our own careers and those that are coming behind us.
That's right. It's much bigger than any one person or, really any one generation, right? We should be moving the bar forward, not just trying to hold it up. And Jeff, luckily we have a very engaged pilot group. We've seen that displayed in the last Section 6 negotiations with the picketing and the sound offs and whatnot. We have a very engaged group. And none of us believe that as soon as we vote ALPA in, all of our problems go away. No, there's going to be challenges just like there is in any union. However, a lot of the institutional problems are fixed because of the structure with ALPA. Moving on to the next question. Contracts and contract enforcement are important to American pilots, but I think it's important to recognize that there are issues outside of our CBA that impact our careers. Are there policy and regulatory discussions being had that we're missing out on? And what about our voice internationally? How would we be better positioned to control our collective destiny with ALPA? And I know we've kind of talked about that with government affairs in previous episodes, but in your opinion, Jeff, how would you answer that?
Yeah, in my mind, if you look at that infographic, the kind of add our voice and prepare to bargain are almost like two concurrent phases, right? Like, in addition to our contract battles, there's all kinds of threats to our careers and the regulatory environment, right? That we need to be at the table for. And I know the Merger Exploratory Committee's report did sing a lot of high praise about our current Government Affairs Committee and the work they do discussing pilot issues and using pilots to talk about pilot issues to elected officials, and 100% not going to dispute that. What we're currently missing, though, is one, we're not part of the AFL-CIO. So a lot of discussions that have to do with the larger labor movement within the United States, the American pilots are just simply not a part of that conversation. Second, internationally, there's an organization called IFALPA, which has a lot of the interfacing with the IATA regulatory environment, which I don't know if anybody that's a historian out there, that was the organization that did a lot of funded and ran a lot of the studies about raising the retirement age from 60 to 65. The American pilot, so IFALPA, the way it's structured, every single country just gets one union that basically represents the voice of that, and that gets the voting rights of that country. So even though the American pilots APA, we've paid for basically an affiliation that's a non-voting membership in IFALPA, we're basically just numbers that are used to kind of help back the United States position, and the United States position's ultimately figured out by ALPA. It's because they are the one voting member for policy changes there, right? So we may have a seat in the room, but we don't necessarily have a seat at the table for a lot of these conversations. And, you know, just like there are some forces in the United States that are looking into, automating out positions and crew complement issues, retirement age issues, all that stuff, maybe just there's some stuff, a lot of that stuff's being looked at in the US, but it's also being looked at internationally. And yeah, we're, like I said, we're maybe in the room, but we're not at the table when we are not a part of ALPA, because ultimately ALPA is the one that is going to vote and is the one that's going to determine what the US position on a lot of these policy matters is. So if we're not inside the organization, we're basically just hoping that they'll let us influence the policy external, like any of their policies externally or any of their plans externally. But then it goes back to the original conversation. If we're not actually making strategic plans, it's really hard to have any credibility and tell another union, hey, your plan doesn't make any sense, but we don't have a plan to even kind of cough up to show you what our plan would be, right? So So just joining ALPA gives us immediate affiliation with AFL-CIO, which does have a lot of access to a lot of political issues that our Government Affairs Committee doesn't necessarily get access to. And it also gives us access to IFALPA, which I think we've got an affiliation with them, but we do not have voting membership with them. That voting membership for the United States belongs to ALPA. And they ultimately speak for us when they vote too, us being the American pilots.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, before we wrap this up, do you have any closing remarks or anything for our listeners moving forward?
Yeah, we're really excited about moving forward and giving you a little bit more to chew on. Each of these bullets in this infographic really is its own episode or several episodes. And we've got some folks that are interested in talking about it from either past experience at our current union or past experience at ALPA. The overarching theme is like, listen, we need to ask ourselves, do we want to be represented or do we want to be governed first, right? And then second, does it really benefit our careers to just remain on an island for the duration of our careers? Because that's where we are right now. There might be occasions where we can get dispatches off to the mainland and maybe that's influential enough to get ourselves involved with the conversation. But we are still putting ourselves on an island, and it's like tying one hand behind our back when we're fighting for our careers going forward.
And yeah, no one likes a hand tied behind their back, and I certainly don't want to be on an island except if I'm on vacation with a cigar in one hand and a cold drink in the other.
Yeah, there you go.
Jeff, thanks so much for being with us on the podcast again. I look forward to talking to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Garrett. Appreciate the time, man.
One thing that does seem to be lost on an island is the connectivity through our union's website. Been trying to sign in here for a couple days now and unable. But yet when I go to sign in on the ALPA site and check my benefits there, I have no problem. So if anybody's on one of those island layovers, let me know if you can find that connectivity. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Straight and Level Podcast. We greatly appreciate all of your support and hearing your voices, because at the end of the day, that's what this is about. Putting you back in the driver's seat of your representation. Don't forget to be an advocate, fund our future, and sign a card. We'll be back with more content here shortly. Till then, fly safe, and we'll catch you on the flip side.